This morning I want to bring to you another one of the messages that is based on this little track that we've passed out called This Is Your Life. It's actually the 10th message in a series that I have based on this tract, and it's an effort, of course, to help lead us in our personal evangelism. Now, one of the recurring themes in this series of lessons is the work of the Holy Spirit. And very often there are questions asked of each of us who are pastors that concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're told, well, why don't you talk a little bit more about the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, I'd like to take a little bit of time this morning to do just that. We can't do anything but take a small step in the direction of such a study this morning, because really what we're interested in is the relationship of the work of the Holy Spirit to our personal evangelism. And in the end, I'm anxious that we see this: a rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit is essential if our evangelism is at all to be successful. And if there is to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what must come? We must pray. Isn't this what Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13? Look at it again. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The good gift that God the Father has for his disciples is the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask God to pour out his Spirit upon us. Why? Because if we at all hope to be successful in speaking to others about Christ, it's essential that God pour his Spirit out upon us. And this is true from two different perspectives. First, if we hope to be effective witnesses, we as individuals must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first side. And secondly, if we are to be effective witnesses, we must also pray that God will pour out his Spirit upon those to whom we speak. There is, again, to be a pouring out of God's Spirit in this fashion, we need to pray. We need to pray. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very specific about this in chapter 11, the text which is before us this morning. So I'd like to spend a little time looking into this. And I'd like you to pray with me during these minutes that are before us. Pray that God will be pleased to pour out his Spirit. And pray that God will be pleased to pour out his Spirit now, in our midst here. And that God will be pleased to pour out his Spirit upon that person out there who you are particularly concerned about, who you would like to talk to further about Jesus Christ. And so let's begin to talk about this. Take the little tract, first of all, and look at it again. We've looked at it before. I think it outlines a need that we have, because it reviews the task that we have to be witnesses. We've said before that to be witnesses, it means that we are to testify to the truth of God. And we must be forthright in declaring the living God to others as the creator of the universe. That's the very first point in this little track, isn't it? And we must lay the scriptures before individuals. We need to tell the people, look, you were created by God, and you are therefore responsible to him. And we need to lay the scripture Genesis 1:27 before that individual we're talking to. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That's part of the task that each of us has. And not only so, we have said in past lessons that it's important for us to testify concerning the nature of sin. We need to be very specific when we talk to people. We need to define sin for individuals. And that's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 is all about. Sin is the transgression of the law. But we need to tell people, kindly, yes, look, you often break God's law and you're a sinner. That's something we need to present to people. The Ten Commandments, as they are set forth in the Scriptures, define very specifically various sins, don't they? Adultery, covetousness, lying, idolatry. And we must present the truth of sin to unbelievers. But our witness to the truth must go on. It goes further than that. And if you turn the page in the little tract, again, we must say to people, you will be judged and you face eternal punishment for your sin. Now, that's not an easy thing to say. And I'm not here to tell you that that's an easy thing to say. But it's the truth. And we must lay before individuals the scripture, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. You see, we must be prepared to testify to the torments of hell. They are torments that individuals will be subjected to in the life to come who are without Christ. But one day, as the Scriptures tell us in Matthew 25:41, Jesus will say, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, thankfully, our witness does not stop there. That's the negative side, isn't it? And sometimes we have to give the bad news to people before we give them the good news. The good news comes, and it must be given. Here we find the alternative to sin and to judgment. Forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt are obtained through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the good news that while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thanks be unto God that that's the case. And each of us need to be prepared to tell that to people. And we need to say to individuals, look, this is the way of salvation. The Bible says, repent, therefore, that your sins may be wiped away. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This is the news that we need to give to individuals, the good news. And we are not only to testify to the fact that there is forgiveness of sin and a way of escape from the torments of everlasting punishment. But we are to tell people also, look, dear friend, there is life abundant ahead for those who come to Christ. And that's why in point B of the second part of the tract, we must say the gift of eternal life and access to heaven are obtained through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must tell individuals the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a thing that is. Yes, the grace of God here is set forth, and it centers in Jesus Christ. And we must, therefore, go on and freely offer Jesus Christ to men and women and tell them in these words, the Lord Jesus Christ freely offers himself to you, saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How often have you issued that invitation to others? I know that some of you have issued that invitation often. Others of us haven't issued that invitation as we should. But we need to do it. And we need to tell people, as Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is the good news. That's what we need to bring to men and women. This is the truth of which we need to bear witness. But you know, very often, when we acknowledge this task of testifying to the truth, we come to a significant problem. Hasn't it been said more than once? I can't tell people that they're sinners, bound for hell. I just can't do that. I'm not able to do that, in essence, is what is being said. I can't bring myself to tell someone they're a sinner. I just don't have the ability. Well, I'll tell you, I can identify with that. I can identify with that without any problem at all, because I felt that very keenly myself. But let's hit this problem of inability head on. And the way we do it is look at another scripture that has to do with the Holy Spirit. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In evening worship, we've been looking at Acts, and we've talked about this particular text. But let's look at it again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus has some very significant words for each of us. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Now, there's a little word in that text which is translated power. We're familiar with that. But perhaps we're not altogether familiar with the way that word is translated in other places in Scripture. That word may be translated ability or capability. So that we can translate Acts chapter 1, verse 8 in this fashion. But you will receive ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. In other words, where you were unable to witness for Jesus Christ, He says to you and He says to me, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have ability. And that's the answer to our dilemma. The dilemma which so often confronts us. The dilemma which so often faces us when we sit across the table over a cup of coffee with that fellow or gal who does not know Jesus Christ. And we think to ourselves, how can I accomplish the task that God has given to me? Here's the answer. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive ability. Now, I guess that's one of the primary challenges that is before us this morning. And notice how emphatic Jesus really is here. You will receive ability, He says, and you shall be my witnesses. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be my witnesses. Unwholesome approach for us to say, well, you're either going to be a good witness or a bad witness. In either case, you're going to be a witness. No, that's not what Jesus says. He says, when the Holy Spirit really comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. And I think Jesus is talking about being a good witness for Him, testifying to the truths that we've just reviewed. You see, the point of all this is simply that we need to pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit upon us in a very significant way. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know, Jesus is talking to His disciples here. And we could go back into the book of Acts and see how time after time the Lord was pleased to pour out His Spirit upon the disciples. And the Scriptures tell us that Peter, for instance, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the place in which he stood was shaken, and they spoke the word with boldness. We need to pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit upon us in a very significant way. Is this really what you want? Do you really want to be a good witness for Jesus Christ? Then pray that God will pour out His Spirit. Now you say, well, maybe I'm not really all that interested. Maybe I'm hedging a little. Well, here's a little warning for you. I'll tell you very frankly that I am praying, and I'm sure your pastor is praying, and I know that others are praying, that God will pour out His Spirit upon you and change you into witnesses for Him. You know, God has that ability to change us from the inside out. And that ought to be our prayer. Now, what kind of asking is Jesus talking about here? Is Jesus just saying, well, ask and let it go at that? On Sabbath morning when you come to church, pray for revival and let it go for that with that? On Wednesday evening or on Sabbath evening when you come to prayer meeting, pray for revival and let it go with that? No, Jesus is not saying that at all. Jesus is talking about persistent asking. Look again at what He says in verses 5 through 8. He says, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is zeroing in on persistent prayer, continuous, persistent prayer. In other words, we are to assault the gates of heaven with this request that God be pleased to pour out His Spirit in a significant way upon us. Jesus emphasizes this in verses 9 and 10. in Luke 11. He says, I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If you have a New American Standard Version of the Bible, you see in the margin, it says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't let up. Keep seeking the Lord. Persist in prayer. I remember a time in my own life when I was seeking the Lord about my own ministry and my own call to the ministry. And at the time I was working for an insurance company. And in order to get to the office, I had to get up fairly early to get into town to beat the traffic. Which meant that if I was going to have any time at all to pray concerning this urgent thing in my life, a call to the ministry, I'd have to get up pretty early. And I used to do just that, get up about 5:30 in the morning, sometimes before that, to pray for a half hour or 45 minutes, day after day after day. And I remember how the Lord blessed me in those times of prayer. But I also remember that the Lord kept me at that for almost 3.5 years. Jesus says, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, ask and keep asking. That's what He's talking about. And my friends, if we're urgent about the mission of the church, if we are urgent about our capability to bring the gospel to a lost community, that's what we need to do. We need to keep seeking God. Day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year, if that's what it takes. We need to keep seeking God. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us. Do not withhold Your hand from us. Fulfill Your promises in us. That's what the Lord is bringing to us in these scriptures this morning. And my friends, if we ever hope to see the pews filled, if we ever hope to be able forcefully to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in need, this is what we must do. We must pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit upon us in a very significant way. And not only so, you see, the other side of the coin is also very plain. If we really want to see men and women come to a saving knowledge of Christ, we need to pray that God will pour His Spirit on this community out here, on this state and on this nation. What are we to testify concerning? Well, let's look again at this little tract. Point B at the beginning of the tract says, you often break God's law and you're a sinner. You see, we are to testify to this truth to men and women. But how are men and women out there who do not acknowledge Christ going to come to grips with their own sin? Only if the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them will they come to grips with their own sin. That's the only way it will ever come about. Yes, we must speak to them. And we must be very faithful in this. But at the same time, we must pray, Lord, open their hearts. What does Jesus say? He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will convince the world of sin. When the Spirit comes. And you see, we are also to testify to this truth. You will be judged and you face eternal punishment for your sin. Now, how is an individual going to come to grips with judgment to come? only as the Holy Spirit is truly poured out upon their lives. And we need to pray that that will take place. Jesus says again, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will convince the world of sin and of judgment. That's His job. And what about the positive side? Forgiveness of sin and freedom from guilt are obtained through repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does repentance come? How does a repentance really well up within the human heart? Only as the Holy Spirit has been poured out. You read in the book of Acts how it was that Peter spoke in the household of Cornelius. That's in chapter 10. And in chapter 11, you read how it was that Peter reported what took place to those who were in Jerusalem. And they said, "Thanks be unto God, because it appears that God has given to the Gentiles also repentance unto life." It's a gift of God. And we need to pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit. And how are men and women going to believe in Jesus without the Holy Spirit? They're not. You see, we need to pray urgently that God will pour out His Spirit. Paul says, "No one truly says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." No one will bow down before Christ and come to Him and confess Him as Lord without the Spirit. We need to pray. Pray to that end. That God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You see, that's the point I want to drive home this morning. If our evangelism is at all going to be effective, the Holy Spirit must be poured out. And if the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, we need to pray. And if we do, what will God do? Let's look at those words again in Luke chapter 11. "I say to you," now these are the words of Jesus, dear friends in Christ, "I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That's what Jesus says. If we diligently pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit upon us here in this place, and if we pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit in this community and upon this nation, will He withhold His hand in the end? No, He won't. He says that He won't. In verse 13 again, He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God will not withhold His hand. And so, my friends, we must pray. We must seek the Lord. We must do it as individuals, and we must do it together. And the question, finally then, is this. Will you? Will you seek the Lord? Will you pray that God will be pleased to pour out His Spirit upon you, upon your church, upon your community? Will you do it? Let's pray together now, shall we? Father in heaven, hear us now as we come to You and ask You to pour Your Spirit out upon us. Don't withhold Your hand. Be gracious to us, Lord, and to make us hear Your voice and cause us, O God, to walk in Your statutes and to follow Your ordinances. Cause us to believe Your word where You say that when the Spirit is poured out upon us, we receive ability.